You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning to you, or afternoon, or evening, or whatever time zone you are listening to LA Talk Radio on. Hope it's going well for you. This is Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. And what we do on this show is we give you advice. You know how I talk in the third person? We. Dr. Michelle likes to give advice. Of course, you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. But this is about entertainment, advice. I'm a licensed psychologist. I have some ideas for you. Maybe I can help you out. As I hopefully do every week, every day, if you're into the downloading thing, you can listen to all of the topics we talk about, like relationships, saving them, things we're doing in them to mess them up, problems with past relationships, why we get into those things, how we can avoid them in the future, and on and on. And of course, if you have a personal issue, some kind of depression going on, or if you have anxiety, self-esteem issues, of course I'm here for you. You can call me if you'd like, 323-203-0815, 203-0815, and that is in the 323 area code. Make sure you dial that first, especially if you're calling long distance, overseas. It's great to hear from you. And by the way, if you want to check me out on my website, you can do so. I am at drmichelletherapy.com. That's Dr. Michelle with two L's therapy. drmichelletherapy.com tells a little bit about my philosophies, what I'm about, you know, helping you with relationship issues, personal issues, and also helping you do something that I am an advocate of. It's called detoxing the drama from your life. Detoxing that drama, just like any other really bad substance that you can't get out of. We do get into a lot of drama and high emotions, and we get addicted to it. It's scientific. Chemicals, brains, neurohormones. We go crazy, and we like it after a while. You know some people like that? Rageaholics? Dramaholics? They like to keep things stirred up. And there are some people who like to be with them and hang around them a lot because it stirs them up, and we can share that addiction too. I know it sounds really weird, but I totally try to help people get through that as well. So you can find me again on my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. And of course, you can email me. Where a lot of my listeners do, you can link on from my website onto my email address, especially for listeners to ask me questions so maybe I can help you out through stuff. And that is docmichelle@aol.com. It's D-O-C, Michelle, with two L's, at AOL.com. And I've received a lot of questions and problems from people this last week that I'm going to share with you on the air today. And they're dealing with just about everything. A lot of relationship stuff. I have advice for listeners out there from some people. And I always welcome your advice, too. If you hear something or a problem someone has and you have some really good advice to offer, I would love to hear what you have to say, and then I can pass along to others. And then I can disclaim that I have nothing to do with your advice. That way I won't get in trouble. And let me disclaim again that you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. This is just for advice and information, entertainment as well, but hopefully it'll help you out a little bit. I have also a really cool article because somebody wrote me about their family situation that is rather uncomfortable in front of their boyfriend. is that their family's always arguing a lot, and the boyfriend's family's mellow. So how do they kind of deal with this? And I'm going to give you some ideas about healthy arguing that maybe you healthy. That's right. How to argue healthy. It's true. Everybody argues. You know, got to have differences, got to have anger. It's normal. Of course. Come on now. But how to do it in a healthy manner so there's no destruction, so people are not devastated in the way and thinking you're a verbally abusive person. So we can talk about that as well. And again, give me a call. I'll be getting the number out here on LA Talk Radio as you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. The number again is area code 323-203-0815. And I'm going to start off by reading this email I received. Who is this from? I don't know. Oh, this is Lisa. Here we go. Dear Dr. Michelle, I'm 20 years old in my second relationship. In my past, I've struggled with over 50 crushes. Wow. That's pretty good. I would obsess over a guy and fantasize until reality set in, and I realized it would not work. Yeah, that's what we all do. The fantasy thing, guys do a lot of that about women. And I'm not just talking about the sexual thing either. They build her up to be this wonderful goddess that's going to please them and be perfect in every way. And then the reality sets in of really getting to know them, and then they dump them. But anyway, Lisa goes on to say, the relationship I am in right now is the only time I've ever gotten to know a guy first before developing feelings for him. Again, she's into that fantasizing thing. She said, when I was away at college, I met Josh, who is incredibly loyal, genuine, trustworthy, understanding, considerate. Wow. Sounds like a winner to me. And affectionate. We have very similar backgrounds and beliefs, but it's becoming serious really quickly. Now that I'm back home for the summer, we communicate long distance. In the meanwhile, I've met a guy named Mark, who's incredibly attractive and shares similar beliefs. He likes me a lot, but I'm in a relationship with Josh. Now, at the end of the summer, I'll go back to school for one more year, so I will be with Josh again. There is no way things could ever work out with Mark because of the distance. How can I even be thinking these thoughts? Well, she says, it's really nice to have the stability, but I feel so guilty about my attraction toward this Mark fellow. Can I maintain a friendship with him? I really don't know him, but I'm intrigued by his personality. He represents all of those shallow past crushes that were unobtained. There you go. I think she just answered her own question. That's exactly what he does. She's fantasizing about how wonderful, and she has this wonderful attraction, and she's building up this other Mark guy. So, look, let me just say that I think that you're a little too young to settle down and make a decision about having a boyfriend and marriage and commitment. You know, I think it's progress on your part, though, Lisa, because you met someone like Josh, because he seems like a nice guy. Wow, he's got all these, although he's long distance right now, he's got all these great qualities. And, it's kind of cool that he's intrigued you sufficiently enough to where you're thinking, I have a boyfriend, you know, back wherever. I better chill with this new guy. But you've got to hear me, that the attraction that you're having to this Mark guy should tell you that you're not in the least ready for a permanent commitment still. You're fantasizing again about somebody else that you don't really even know. But there you go again, the fantasy thing. Is he the prince that's going to sweep you up off your feet and make your whole life wonderful? One of the things that I kind of found interesting, Lisa, was that the way you described your 50 short-term crushes. It's not unusual. I mean, we will have crushes. We're young. You're young. But it kind of gives me a red flag because there's so many. I mean, that's a huge amount. Mind is working overtime on those fantasies. But it kind of makes me wonder how you feel about long-term relationships in general. Because we grow up forming the kind of decisions, you know, like the way our parents' relationship was handled. A lot of times it's modeled. If our parents had a horrible relationship and they argue a lot or they're cold to each other, sometimes we model those behaviors. On the other hand, some of the people who are lucky that have environments like that slip through the cracks and they decide they're going to not argue and just go the other way. Only that's a smaller amount of people who decide to do that. They learn that that's not the way to be. So I'm not sure what went on with your family. So you might ask yourself, just to kind of take a look at why you keep fantasizing and having a hard time with connecting and committing. Because you told me this was the first relationship where you've ever really gotten to know a guy before developing a strong feeling for him. So you might ask yourself, what's up with your family growing up? Because you're 20 years old. Is it intact? I mean, even if the parents are divorced, do they still have a decent relationship where they can talk if you have siblings and, you know? How did your mom and dad interact with each other when you were growing up? Now, did you perceive your parents' marriage as happy? Or was it kind of a drag? Even if they were intact or together, whatever, was it kind of like, oh, they just put up with each other? Because the reason why I say that is because if they've modeled that to you, you seem really fearful of any kind of personal commitment. So when we're checking out why people are so scared of getting closer, and then here you are off fantasizing about this Mark guy again. Boop, got a boyfriend. But ooh, I feel so guilty, but I'm kind of like fantasizing about now here's another crush. Crush number 52. You have to look at your self-esteem. You kind of have to look at your early childhood issues. You kind of have to look at your maturity and your overall readiness to decide on a life partner, you know, and you're only 20 years old. Give yourself some time. There's a lot of people who marry by that time. But, you know, you just kind of ask yourself some of these questions. And if it's really bothering you, you know, why you can't commit, why don't you go see a specialist? Go see a counselor, therapist, psychologist, whatever. All right. And I thank you so much for writing me. That was really sweet, Lisa. I hope I've helped you a little bit. Go ahead and email me back if I did help you a little bit, and then we can move on, all right, and get you some help maybe. All right, it's Dr. Michelle on the couch with you on LA Talk Radio, and you can call me at 323-203-0815, and I think I have a caller on the line right now. Good morning. It's Dr. Michelle. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Uh-oh.
I'm doing all right.
Oh, okay. All right. So what's up? Why'd you call me?
Well, I needed to talk to someone.
Okay.
And I've been listening to your show for a long time now.
Good.
And I really love it, and it's a great show. And I'm in a life situation where I feel like I'm falling apart a little bit.
Okay.
Several weeks ago, I was laid off of my job.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I am lacking the energy to go out and get another job.
Yeah.
It's just my self-esteem has been affected.
Oh, sure.
I guess.
Sure.
And I worked at this job for 5 years.
Right.
I'm an engineer.
Oh, good.
And the economy, my company just decided that they've laid off a couple hundred people, and it's been kind of a nightmare for me.
Yeah, I bet. I'm sorry to hear that.
So
it's happening.
And,
so
and
much.
Also,
yeah.
My girlfriend of 2 years last week told me that she wanted to go on vacation, and she's going to go with another friend. With a girlfriend.
Okay.
But it just feels a little weird.
Does she usually go on vacation with you, or is this what kind of vibe is she giving you, or what did she actually say to you that she's, you know, I've got to get out of here, or what do you think, is this normal for her to go with a girlfriend?
Well, she has a girlfriend and stuff, but it just feels weird. We normally go on vacation together, and it's summertime, I want to, you know, kick back, but I don't really have the money right now because I got laid off.
Yeah, yeah.
And I live paycheck to paycheck, and so it's a little stressful, I just don't know what to do. I feel like my life is out of control.
Yeah, of course you do. Well, especially in this economy, we're all feeling a sense of out of control. You know, we can't make ends meet. There's so many people who are coming to me now because they've gotten laid off, you know. and it's really a tough time. So your girlfriend, you're kind of, have you heard from her? Have you talked with her? How long has she been gone?
Oh yeah. We still talk and we're still going out.
All right.
She is my girlfriend. I don't know whether she, I mean, we're very, very good friends. I mean, you know, labels, you know?
Sure.
When people label things.
Well, so you guys have been together.
She is my girlfriend.
Yeah. Exclusively. You guys haven't cheated on each other or anything.
No, I haven't cheated.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know whether she has, but...
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But it's a very comfortable situation.
Okay, but she left and you're...
But she just feels... It just feels strange that she would, out of the blue, just say, oh, you know, I'm going to take a vacation with my friend.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you know, sometimes... it sounds like you guys have a decent relationship and you'd know. I don't know. You may have suspected if she's cheating on you. You may have gotten some vibes before that. But no, because you have recently been laid off and you're feeling depressed and it's hard for you financially, your self-esteem's going to be hit. You're going to have some depression setting in because of the reality, of course, of trying to pay bills. And also there's an element to your self-esteem with your girlfriend. So you're going to be really sensitive to anything else around you right now that's happening to you, right?
Right.
Okay. So just know that whenever we have a major thing happen to us, whatever it is, a loss, you know, whether it's a friend with an illness, a family death, a job loss, any kind of a loss, and we'll just put a little tiny label that your girlfriend's left for a little bit. So this is kind of a temporary loss. You need her support right now. You don't need her to go on vacation. You need her to be there for you. But, you know, maybe, you know, if you could just take a look at the fact that you're very sensitive right now. So you're going to be sensitive to a lot of things. You're going to feel beaten down, right? So,
right.
Yeah. So you have to try to think the best and try to communicate with your lady while she's gone and just tell her you miss her and you love her and, you know, try to sound up, because I know you're having a rough time and you do sound kind of depressed. But in some way, just say, hey, I'm glad you got away. I think it's great. I really miss you. Can't wait to see you. I hope you're having fun. In other words, don't lay a burden on her, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of tough to do.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing.
That's kind of tough to do.
Here's the thing. And who knows why she just all of a sudden went on vacation with her girlfriend and... whatever. Don't start catastrophizing that she's got another guy or that maybe she just needed to get away. Maybe she's kind of depressed too, because of your situation, and she doesn't know how to express it. And the best way for her to express it, which for her, is to go somewhere and get away. Okay?
Right.
And that doesn't mean she's not in love with you or there for you or your best friend or whatever. Maybe it's just her way of coping. So try to see the best part of that. And realize that, again, you're really vulnerable to a lot of stuff. Little things that are happening, even the smallest things that will happen to you, you're going to take worse because you're not in a great place right now because of this. So how do you triumph during transitions? How do you get through this? What are you doing for you? What kind of things do you do for yourself that make you feel better?
Right now, nothing.
Oh, that's not good. I'm so sorry. Okay. Now,
and something really strange has been happening. I feel like, you know, there's moments in the day where I feel like I can't breathe.
Oh no!
And I get, I guess they're called panic attacks.
Well, I mean, are you?
You know, I feel like I can't breathe, and I get a little lightheaded, and I get anxious, and I.
Okay.
I kind of feel like I'm having one right now.
No. Okay. All right. Just breathe slowly and focus on, you know, my words and listen to me. And you could be having some anxious symptoms. You know, there's a lot of characteristics. You have to meet certain criteria for having a panic attack. But you can control them. No one's ever died from a panic attack. And you need to, you know, just think about slowing down your breathing, which slows down a lot of your, you know, autonomic nervous system functions, right? So it's just, you're anxious, you're fearful right now. There's a lot going on in your life. So just, you know that you're going to be anxious, and our bodies do react. You know, we have that old brain that's the fight or flight brain still there from when we were, you know, very... primitive beings. We don't have a chance to flight these days. Some of us go to the gym and go crazy and really, but we're, most of us are stuck in traffic or trying to deal with the economy. And that's, you know, we have a lot of stress. And the way we cope with stress is we shut down and we have panic attacks or we have anxious symptoms. So just listen to my voice while I'm talking to you and just try to slow your breathing while we're talking. And just know that, you know, you're going to be prone to worry. When you're worried and sad and things are feeling like they're falling apart, your body just may not be able to cope with it. And that's okay. And if it gets so bad to where you're having extreme, you know, out of breath feelings, dizziness, feel like you're going crazy, heart palpitations, you're sweating, you know, you're having to sit down, and you know, that's a very scary feeling. If you think that, go to your general medical doctor and get a checkup to find out if it's not something else. I always suggest people get a physical, get blood work, you know, because hyperthyroidism can mimic you know, panic attacks. There's certain other disorders that can as well that are true medical conditions that you can easily get treated for. So have you had a physical in a while?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
Why don't you treat yourself to a physical and just, you know, make sure in your head that you're fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but this way, you know, if you need an adjustment in something, you can just make sure you're okay. And you'll feel better.
I don't like...
What?
Typically, I don't like doctors.
I know. Well, I hear you. A lot of guys don't. A lot of men really don't, and they don't go as often as women because they'd rather just go forward and not focus on problems. But I think it's a good idea, especially if you're having so-called panic symptoms. Just check it out. See what's going on. And then from there, you can possibly, you know, just manage the symptoms by doing some breathing. Lots of information online about managing panic disorder. And, of course, this therapist. Great specialists. One of my specialties is anxiety. But I could refer you to someone else if you in your area. Okay. Okay, let's talk about some of your transitions, some of your issues that you're having right now, okay?
Okay.
How are you feeling right now, by the way? You feeling better?
I'm a little bit better.
Okay. All right, just listen to my voice and keep breathing slowly. So recognize what's happening. Don't freak out. Right? When you're in an unsettled state like you are right now with looking for a job and you're worried about bills, you're in transition. So what you have to do is know you're not going crazy. Your feelings are normal. All right? You're going to be moving out of this place. It's a phase. All right? It's a phase. We all have ups and downs in our lives. Everything is not always stable. There are phases we go through, and it's how we go through these phases and handle them that's important. So take care of the obvious, like I just suggested. Just know when you're in the white water, as I call it, right? The white water, it's swirling around you.
Yeah.
Basic needs come first. So take care of yourself, you know? Relaxation, okay? Groom yourself. Look good. Because you don't have a job to go to every day and you're feeling funky, you know? Get a nice shower, shave, feel good, get out, go to the gym, exercise.
Okay.
All right? There's no way you're going to get focused on, oh, I've got to do my life's purpose and get back into the field again and go for a job and all that, when you're worried about where your next meal is coming from. So, you know, get the help you need now. Take care of yourself. If you're depressed or anxious, get the things that you need to get for you. Okay. Not to stress yourself out, you don't have, you know, just get something maybe part-time if you're interested in slowly looking for a job. But take care of yourself first. And you know, by the way, this will reflect, your girlfriend will pick up from you as well. If you're kind of hanging around the house and depressed and not grooming and not shaving and, you know, you're eating junk food and you're playing the video games, you know, you got to kind of pull yourself away from the computer a little bit. All right? Now, write this down too. Lower your expectations of yourselves. When people are, you know, in transition or flux, they drive themselves even harder to achieve because they're stressed out. And this is what could be happening with your panicky symptoms. You know what I'm saying? So when you're in transition, you need all of your energy just to cope. So this is the time to ease up on yourself. All right. When I say ease up on yourself, I'm not saying, like I said, be a slob and lay around the house. I'm saying stop the perseveration. Oh my God, I have to go and get a job. Oh my God, I have to get my resume sharp. Oh my God, I have to start calling. I mean, get yourself slowly together during this transition. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Get okay. Do you have a support network? Let me ask you this. Do you have some friends? Do you have some good family members who you can talk to?
I have a brother.
Okay.
And we talk.
All right, great.
We talk.
He's a good guy, and you guys talk, and he's there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because yep. Here's the thing. Oh, good. I'm so glad. Keep talking to him. Tell him you need to talk to him. I know it's not a real guy kind of thing, but try to talk to him as often as you can if he's a good guy and he's there for you. Because what happens is people who are going through transition or who are in the white water of life, things swirling around them out of control, they tend to hide. See? And this is because when the rug's pulled out from under us, it's really hard to find our ground. So we lose confidence. So we pull back. We get depressed. And the last thing we want to do is talk to people about our situation, especially guys. All right?
Yeah.
So know that you as a guy will kind of pull back. And I know you – and guys don't want to burden other people either. This is the thing with guys. They just – hey, they don't want to seem weak. They don't want to burden other people. They're just, hey, I'm fine. But if you have somebody there, just if you're feeling really funky – get some words of wisdom from him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you this, something I'm picking up from you. Try to lighten up a little bit. Try to lighten up, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to have some relaxation and fun. I mean, I don't know where
this
you...
This is my life, though. This is my life.
What's
you
your
know?
Life? What's your life?
It's you know, this is my life, so I don't want to mess up, you know? I don't want to... fall back. I have a house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got payments. Mm-hmm. I got credit card bills. I got to put food on the table.
Right.
I got to eat.
Right.
You know.
Right. I understand.
There's a lot of issues.
I know.
That I got to deal with.
Okay.
And
I know.
You know. There's only so many hours in a day.
That's true.
And those days, you know.
Okay. You sound
days
lucky.
Just seem. Like they blur together.
Yes, they do. Yes,
and
they do.
And it's really tough.
Okay.
It's very, very tough.
Okay. I know it's really tough, but you have to take care of you first and lighten up on yourself a little bit. You know, you just hearing your voice again when you were just saying that to me, you're breathing heavy again. You know, you're breathing, and just the way you're talking, the pressure that you have is just, you know, it's I feel it all the way through the headphones here on the radio. So I want you to try to take care of yourself, groom yourself, try to get back. Like you look like you're in the game again. And, you know, try to, when I say have some fun and relax, I mean after you explore some of the things you need to do during the day, maybe some job leads, some things out there, go for a walk. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Go, if you have some beautiful environment near you, if you live near, I don't know where you live, but if you're near a park or an ocean or some kind of a, anything, go out and enjoy the beauty of nature. It has a way of really relaxing you. All right?
Okay.
Don't get drunk.
Okay.
Don't get high. Don't get drunk. I mean, you know, that's, because what
you're
going
to No, I don't do that.
Okay. You're going to have the chemical, you know, aftermath of that in your brain. So take a day at a time. I know it sounds trite. Okay, I know what you want to do. I know that you want to get back into this field of being an engineer, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you know, you I'm sure have made contacts. I'm sure you have lists of friends. I'm sure you have lists of other companies. All right, but you have to take care of yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually and mentally. You know, so you can be the best you can be when you go out there. So you're not projecting negativity and sadness and depression and all that stuff, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, And, you know,
that's really good.
There's a really cool thing they have called active waiting. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. It's waiting and hoping. Okay. In our culture, people don't like waiting. And the reason why is because we don't like doing it. We don't know how to do it. I mean, you know, we've never had a course called Waiting 101, right? But people don't study it. They don't know how to do it. It's called being patient. And I know we have bills to pay, but there's some kind of an emotional kind of transition that you have to make before you're ready, before you can really unemotionally and unfrenzied, you know, step into a new situation, you know?
All right.
So, it, you know, these are just some ideas. Take care of yourself physically. Get a little exercise. It'll help the anxiety symptoms. It'll manage some of the depression you're having. Go see a doctor. Just get a health checkup. You know, just for the heck of it. Since you're having palpitations and you're feeling anxious, you know, I would do that. And I would continue to talk to your girlfriend. Tell her, oh, gee, I hope you're having a great time. Be positive. Saying, hey, I'm hanging in there.
Play a game?
No, not play a game. I would say just try to be probably a little more positive than you really feel to her. So when she talks to you on the phone, you're not dragging her down emotionally. It's like, ugh, here he is depressed again. Ugh. Just say, hey, how are you? Hey, I've been fine. I've been exercising. I've been trying to get myself together and just putting it out there. How are you? Ask her questions. Women love that. How's your vacation? What fun things have you been doing? Ask her that.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss you so much. And when are you coming home? I can't wait to see you. Be an up kind of guy. You know?
Okay.
Because that way she'll want to come back to you faster.
I hear you.
You know? So,
Yeah.
And just allow yourself this trend. And know again that all these other things kind of that may hit you, your girlfriend's, you know, not around right now. And you may have even a weird thing. You're stuck in traffic, let's say. Somebody is really rude to you in public. You're going to take everything extremely hard because you're in a bad place right now in your mind. You're feeling unemployed, low self-esteem. You've got some panic symptoms. You sound depressed. Everything's going to seem magnified, as it always does when we're going through transition or loss. So just give yourself a break and know that. Talk to yourself. I know that I'm going through this right now. You may not talk to yourself in public because people may throw some money at you. But, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, just, well, hey, maybe that'd be a good idea. No, just kidding. Just, you know, say in your own mind or in the privacy of your own home, I know that I'm going through these transitions. I know I'm more sensitive. I know I'm going to react, you know, over the top. I've got to take care of myself. And I've got to get a support system going. I got to keep talking to my brother. I've got to tell my girlfriend I'm doing pretty good. I'm hanging in there. I've got to just know that this will change and I'm going to get out of this. And this is just a temporary thing. Okay?
Okay.
Let me tell you what
definitely helps. That definitely helps.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you what some of
the... I just got to realize that things are going to change.
They really are. They always do. That's all we have is change and flux. That's what we have. The people who are into the philosophy of the law of attraction many times, well, I'm just so into that. And it's, you know, we're thinking on a certain level or vibration, and that's what we attract in our lives. That's what...
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that they talk about, the law of attraction people who believe in this, and it is quantum physics they found, so... sometimes... You know, if you are really trying to feel the best you can at every moment of the day, the very best you can, you know, not faking it. What can I do right now? Well, I can shower, I can shave, I can feel a little better about myself. I can look in the mirror and go, okay, you look better. That little moment of feeling better will elevate your mood, will elevate what you're putting out to the world, will attract more good things. So every time you can better yourself, you're going to be attracting better things. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I'm looking at myself in the mirror.
Uh-oh.
And I look like crap.
Well, what are you wearing? Have you shaved? Have you showered today? What have you got on? What are you doing?
Yeah, I showered.
Good.
I showered.
You look like crap. Have you been getting sleep?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I seem to do a lot these days.
Okay, you're a little more depressed, so you're getting sleep. Okay, get up and get out and take a walk. Go do something out in. You know, if you belong to a gym, go do that. Or if you're in a nice area or whatever, take a walk. Just get out. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And just try to you know, better yourself. Try to get yourself up. The other thing about some of the people who say, you know, with the law of attraction is when we have rough times, when we have tough transitions, when we have losses, this is just great because what it's doing is it's giving a contrast in life of what we don't want. So when we have rough times, when we have things happening to us, this is what we don't want because when we get the goodies we do want, we have that contrast, and we really appreciate the good stuff. So sometimes you have to thank the universe for bringing this nasty stuff to you so you can know how to get yourself out of it and move on. You have that contrast of what you don't want and what you do want. So look at it that way, too. This is temporary. And it's going to give you a contrast of what you may really desire. And maybe you're going to get a better job. And maybe you and your girlfriend are going to communicate even better and have a more wonderful relationship after she comes back refreshed. And you're feeling a little more up and better about yourself. And you may get a lot of job applications out there, and you may get a lot of rejections because of the economy. Don't take it personally. You've managed to hang in there for 5 years, you said, with this one particular job, and that's pretty good, being an engineer. You have the history. You have the history. You sound like a pretty young guy. How old are you?
I'm 35.
You're a young guy. You've got a huge future, and you've got great experience, it sounds like. So just start getting it out there. Just start getting it out there. Take care of yourself. And just allow this to pass and do the things that I suggested, because they will help you.
I will.
Me. All right?
I will.
All right. Well, listen,
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. What's your email address?
You can find me at docmichelle@AOL.com. It's D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Or check out my website, which is drmichelletherapy.com, okay? drmichelletherapy.com. And then, if you have any questions, feel free to write me back.
You're in Los Angeles, right?
Yep. We're in Los Angeles here. All right?
Great.
Thanks so much for calling, and I hope you feel better. Check in with me. Why don't you email me? Let me know how you're doing, okay?
I will. Right. I will. Thank you so much, Doc.
You're welcome. You have a good one. And get out there and do something right now when you hang up the phone. Take a walk.
Okay.
All right.
I will.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right. Good guy. Sound like a really good guy. Tough times. I mean, there's so many people who come to me right now who are having tough times in the economy. My God, people are losing their jobs. It's really a difficult time. So we just have to realize that these are transitions. And sometimes we need to take better care and notice ourselves more, when these things happen. So that's just a heads up. And I thank you for listening. Now, let's answer some of the other questions I have. I'm looking through some of my emails, and I'm trying to figure out which of the ones. Here is, I got a response from Tanya, and she was listening a couple of weeks ago to a lady who had written me, who was hurt several times by different guys. So she said, "Dear Dr. Michelle, here's some advice for that lady who you talked to named Kara about men." And this is from Tanya again. Tanya? I don't know if it's Tanya or Tanya, but anyway. She sounds pretty negative. She sounds hurt. So I'm just going to read you what she said to me. "Dear Dr. Michelle, this is for Karina advice. If at all possible, take notice when a guy says, quote, 'I'm different than any guy you've ever met,' or, quote, 'I'm not like the other guys that hurt you and left you.'" She says, "There's a list of promises that should send up red flags that include when guys say, 'I'll never leave you. I'll never quit on you. I'll be yours till the end.'" And she says, here's my favorite, "I'm not a player." If he uses the words "never" and "always" a lot, take notice quickly. She says, "Dr. Michelle, I see it this way. Whatever promises he is making to you right now are more likely the very things he's afraid he will do to you." He's making the promises to make himself feel better, to convince himself that he would never hurt you, etc. What they really mean is, when they say, "I'll never leave you," is that "I will leave you." When they say, "Oh, God, I'll never quit on you, I'm not a player," it means "I'm just like every other jackass that hurt you." When they say, "I'll never quit on you," it also means "I will quit on you the first sign of trouble." So she says, switch the "never" and "always." "I'll never leave you" becomes "I'll always leave you." "I'll never quit on you" becomes "I'll always quit on you." and everything else that's hard for that matter. She says, see my point? I'm not advocating a lack of trust. I'm saying use your radar that was given to you as a gift. Avoid denial. It only serves to cut off your emotional intelligence. Keep your wits about you, girls, she says. When a guy is promising all of these things, send up a red flag. Promises are actions carried out, not stupid words. Never acted upon. All right. That's from Tanya. I'm not taking any responsibility for what she just said. She's just responding to a lady who wrote me and is having guy problems, and the guy really hurt her bad, and she's pretty negative. Sounds to me like you've been hurt by guys before, Tanya, and you're a little negative and skeptical and a little paranoid. But I appreciate you, you know, emailing me, and I appreciate your response. And like I say, if anybody has advice for anyone else, or comments or questions about what I've said to other people, you know, you can always write me, as Tanya did, at docmichelle@AOL.com, and that way I can respond to you about that particular subject. Okay? All right, I'm going to have, I like this one. This is a problem. Dear Dr. Michelle, I am 39 years old, single, and in the middle of a very strange relationship with a 53-year-old man. Okay, so she's 39, he's 53. All right, age difference is not a biggie, but still, that's a pretty large age difference. So you may have some generational things, a little bit. All right, she's 39, single, he's 53. He is divorced, and he is living with his mother. Uh-oh. Dr. Michelle, we've been seeing each other occasionally for the past 4 months, and although he keeps saying that he finds me attractive and interesting, he avoids any form of intimacy apart from long goodbye kisses. Every time I offer him to spend the night at my place, he leaves. He's introduced me to most of his friends, okay, and he takes me to their parties, but he rarely calls, and we might go weeks without seeing each other unless I call him. I feel uncomfortable having to chase or seduce a man. Am I being pathetically naive and reading more into this relationship than there is to it? Yep, you are. Look, 4 months into any relationship, especially for a recently divorced guy, is really early in the game. It's really still kind of early. And maybe he has feelings for you, but maybe he's cautious because he doesn't want to make another mistake. Because you said he's divorced. I don't know if he has kids or whatever. And if staying the night at your... If he has a really elderly mother who he's living with... Now, he's 53. I mean, she could be not elderly, but kind of... Yeah, actually, 70-something. He may be taking care of her. Maybe he's ill. She's ill. Maybe he's embarrassed. And he's taking care of her. You know, you just have to find out more information. If he's taking care of an ill mother and living there just to try to help her, then he's a pretty good guy, I think. And maybe he's very shy and scared because he has been married and he's divorced now. Maybe he's cautious, like I said. Maybe he's not comfortable staying the night at your place because maybe he needs to be there for his mom who is ill or has Alzheimer's. I don't know. So who knows? You have to find out. The only thing that really worries me is that most 53-year-old guys do not live with their mommy. It's just the way it is. Unless he is, like I said, you know, taking care of her. Find out. Okay? Mama's boys are really difficult. But again, he was married, so I don't know what the deal is. You just need to find out more information of him. What's really strange about this relationship is the lack of information. So if you're interested in him, you like him, he sounds wonderful, you've invited him to come over, you seem like you want to have more intimate relationships with him, go for it. Find out more information about him. You don't want to get stuck with some creepy guy who's living with his mom and he's a lot older and he has a lot of baggage. Just get to know him better and ask him questions in a very nice, non-intimidating way. You know, you can always gather information without freaking people out. Just depends on the manner and the tone in which you ask them. All right? That's my suggestion. And I thank you for emailing me because, just to hear what I say, that's kind of a red flag for me. If you really like this guy, that's great. Wonderful. Go for it. But 53 living with mommy, and if she's not sick and ill, I'd run the other way. Yeah, you're young, girl. Go for it. And put it out there. You know, see about some other interests as well. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch. You can still stay on the couch if you like. And, of course, you're on LA Talk Radio right here with me every Friday live at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time. Of course, you can download all my shows in the past about relationships and issues and self-esteem and depression and anxiety and whatever else you'd like to do. You can find me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com, or you can write me at DocMichelle@AOL.com. I thank you for listening today. Thank you for all your emails, and I hope I helped you a lot. And, of course, we do not have a therapeutic relationship, just advice, entertainment, and all the like. Have a wonderful day, and as always do say, take care of you first.